In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters in the risen Lord Jesus Christ. May 7th, 1978. 1 week from tomorrow will be the 40th anniversary of the day of my class's confirmation. I remember a lot of things about that day. But the thing that I think about most regarding that day is actually the fact that I did not know anywhere near as much as I should have known that day about Scripture, about Christ, about confessional Christian teaching, as anyone who is sitting here in this service in these front rows, or those who came forward to be confirmed in the previous service after finishing adult classes, already knows. I'm not just saying that either. I know that it's true. There was a gap of years in my home congregation's history where they did not have public examination. That's right. You went through something I didn't have to go through. I don't know if it was because it was unpopular at the time or seen as unnecessary or too challenging for the size of the class that we had. I don't know the reason why. All I know is we had to take one written exam to qualify for confirmation, and it was the only catechism test we had to take the entire eighth grade year. Lots of lecture. The pastor was there to talk to us 3 days a week for an hour at a time. There was a lot of memory work, but there weren't any tests. There weren't even really that many questions asked of the students or that the students asked of the pastor. And there were only just a handful of notes for you to write into your catechism. And I just happened to be a kid on the right end of the family where I got a hand-me-down catechism and the notes were already all written in. So I didn't even have to do that. I like to believe that whether we're talking about the seventh grade catechism class that I had with many of you, or whether it be the adult instruction classes that I teach here at Faith, that there are very few stones left unturned by the end of our prescribed time together. That's because I don't want anyone to feel the way I felt on my confirmation day. I did not feel ready at all. I did not feel ready to be receiving the sacrament. I certainly did not feel as though I knew everything I should be knowing at that moment. Certainly did not feel strong enough in my faith or my understanding of the Scriptures to be standing before the world and confessing faith or sharing my faith with anybody else at that point. And when it came to actually living what I was saying I believed before the world, I knew. I knew that I did not know the word well enough, nor did I have the confidence to actually live God's will in a way that would not be a challenge for my young conscience. I don't know if the three verses that begin our New Testament lesson from John's first letter to the early Christian church, if they had been read on May 7th, 1978, that they would have caught my attention and had the profound effect on me that they've had as I've studied them this last week in order to share them with you. But I hope and I pray that hearing these words from a towering spiritual forefather, the Apostle John, nearing the end of his very lengthy life, will set your hearts at ease if you are someone about to stand on that spot, on that step, and confess your faith and vow your faithfulness to your Savior God. Let's read them again. Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, And he knows everything. God knows. God knows everything. Every thought of my head and my heart, every word I've ever spoken, every compromise I've ever made in regard to his will and my life and his word. And he knows what I believe. He knows exactly where what I believe meets and is in line directly with his word that he has offered me, and where it goes sideways. It ventures off into misbelief and misunderstanding that he needs to correct in me on a daily basis. He knows every last thing about me down to the very specks of DNA. And the Apostle John doesn't tell me that to creep me out or to lead me to some type of frustration or despair. Just the opposite. In these words, John is communicating to me and to you a very practical application and assurance of his gospel love and his gospel promises, his willingness to forgive, his willingness to live within us and to guide us in our living every day, to know him as my Savior God, that he knows everything. I have no secrets from him, and yet he loves me anyway. My heart, when it hears that, knows that's not right. My heart knows that there's no reason why God should love me anyway. My heart knows, honestly, who I am, what I've done, how I live my life, what burdens of guilt I carry, what darkness lurks inside of me. My heart knows that I don't know all that I should know about God, that I don't believe everything that I'm supposed to believe, that God wants me to believe and know about him, everything that he expects me to do. My heart knows absolutely, without a doubt, that I have no right to expect to stand before God in a spot like that, whether it was the day that I was standing there as I was installed to be your pastor 13 years ago, or whether it's you standing there today to confess your faith and promise your faithfulness to your God. My heart knows that that's not right, that there's no way that's possible, that any of us has the ability to stand in that moment and be right with God and make promises to him. But look back at these verses. And hear John tell your heart and mind that we can be completely at rest in moments like that. How is it? He insists that our hearts can be at rest. He makes clear that we can know for sure that we belong to God and that his eternal saving truth tells us that we have every right, because of all that God has done for us, to stand there. You know how you could really see it if you wanted to? As God would invite you to see it? You wouldn't be sitting there today in your white robes with your flowers and your nervous fingers drumming. You wouldn't be ready. You wouldn't be wanting to stand here in front of all of these people and say what you're about to say if the Holy Spirit hadn't already been working in you. You may feel at the moment that you're more here because your parents wanted you to be here. But the reality it's God's doing. It's God's planning. It's God's working, that first you were born, then you were baptized, and now you stand ready to speak in response to his word, to his promises, to his love for you, his embrace of you despite your sins, who you know that you are. What John is really saying in these verses is that this day is really far more about who God is and what God is doing in you and for you and through you than it's really all that much about you. And that takes some of the pressure off, doesn't it? And it should. but only as far as leading us to rely completely on our risen Savior, His Father, and His Holy Spirit, to grow us in the Word and in the sacrament you're now about to receive in the week to come, to lead you to be more reliant on Him, to be more desirous of His advice and His direction in your life, more certain than ever of His promises to you, to rely on all of them opening your eyes to see the opportunities you will have from this day forward to make your lives and your faith as much about reaching out to others, whether it be confessing truth or whether it be acts of love, compassion, mercy, answering the needs of those around you. Your Savior is opening all of this to you today as He continues to unfold for you His plan for you. And the way John wants you to see it in these verses is this action, this truth, that you confess and that you live and that you show to others in your acts of love. All of this is evidence. Evidence of the Holy Spirit already working in you, already leading you to see His truth, already motivating you to respond to those opportunities. As God draws you and me closer to Him, He also grows our ability to live for Him and others first. And so there will be an abundance of faith expressed through your lives in worship and in confession, in prayer and daily meditation, but also in the things that you do and that you say that show your God how much you love Him, that you do desire His embrace, and that you do also desire to live for Him. So this day of confirmational confession becomes another day on the journey to a better me, to a better you, an eternal me who will live with Christ. You and I will never be perfect along that journey, but Jesus keeps covering each of us with His perfection over and over and over again every time we sin. And that journey needs to always be more and more and more about Him and less about me and less about you. That's what the Spirit is trying to get through to us as we experience the wobbly knees and the faltering voices of a confirmation day. This day, God is once again confirming for you and in you His love for you, confirming His willingness to live in you and to come to you day after day, heartbreak after heartbreak, sin after sin, with His comforting, consoling, forgiving word to set you straight and set you back on the course of walking with Him in this life and walking with Him to heaven. As I think back on my own confirmation day 40 years later, the first thought in my head is, how did I get this old? And then I think, wow, I sure am glad that God did not see me as a finished product on my confirmation day. What a shipwreck I was. That He kept working on me, that He kept leading me deeper into His Word, kept feeding me with His sacrament, kept leading me to acts of love and growth that stretched me, that challenged me, but kept speaking His Word to me in a way that corrected me and forced me to be honest about my own sins and my own waywardness, so that day by day, little by little, after 40 years, I'm standing here sharing the Word with you on your confirmation day. But there is so much farther to go. The destination is not a moment, not any singular moment of our lives. The destination is beyond moments, beyond time. It's eternity, living in joy, fulfillment, peace with God forever. So God tells us here, He is greater than our hearts and He knows everything. Praise Him for that. Bask in the loving embrace that He offers you today. Thank Him for the knowledge and the faith that Jesus and His Spirit has drawn you to, that makes you available and ready in this moment to speak His truth, to confess the faith He's grown in you, the love He's shown you, the promises He's made to you. Then move forward from this moment in your life, certain that every moment you give to Him in worship, in confession, in study, in prayer, in meditation, in service to others, is another moment He will use as evidence for your life day in and day out. When confronted with your sins, when confronted with your conscience, when your heart tells you it's not right, that becomes the evidence that God is living in you, that God's growing you, that you're walking with Him. That's a love that you treasure every moment, because you know that God does know everything about you, knows everything about everything, and still chooses to love you anyway. That He will continue to always be what He has always been, greater than our hearts. And since He knows everything, since He truly knows everything, He's the only one to listen to. He's the only one to follow today, every day, forever. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.